This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years with expertise across income and alternatives. Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
After a deadly attack on a train station, the West pledges more support to Ukraine. And the Federal Reserve's plan to tame inflation by raising interest rates has a flip side.
If you make it more expensive to borrow money, then people and businesses will take less opportunities to do things like buy houses or build new things that cause inflation and cause the economy to run too hot.
Plus, forget girls' night, why Hollywood is relying on the guys to fill theaters. It's Friday, April 8th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Western nations are responding to a Russian missile attack on a train station in the Ukrainian city of Kramatorsk that killed at least 50 people as they were trying to flee the eastern Donbas region and injured nearly 100 more. It's one of the largest single attacks on evacuees since the conflict began. In a joint press conference, the leaders of the UK and Germany both called the attack a war crime committed by Russia and pledged to send more military equipment to Ukraine. President Biden says the U.S. will reposition a Patriot missile system to Slovakia after the country announced it would provide Ukraine with an S-300 air defense system. The long-range system is designed to protect large areas over a wide radius and would be effective against military aircraft and short-range ballistic missiles like the one that struck the train station. Russia has denied the strike, but said it had been targeting stations in the Donbas region to destroy Ukrainian military equipment. The newest Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson was honored during a ceremony on the White House's South Lawn today, a day after her historic confirmation to the nation's highest court. In her remarks, Brown called her confirmation the honor of a lifetime.
I strongly believe that this is a moment in which all Americans can take great pride. We have come a long way toward perfecting our union. In my family, it took just one generation to go from segregation to the Supreme Court of the United States.
After deliberating for 5 days, a federal jury has acquitted two men accused of conspiring to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer and deadlocked on all charges against two others. Prosecutors allege that the four men were upset about Whitmer's COVID-19 policies. Defense attorneys argue that the government entrapped them by orchestrating the plot with the help of a federal informant. New York State lawmakers will soon start to look at proposals for full-scale casinos in and around New York City. The state authorized its first Las Vegas-style casinos in 2014, but regulators had limited them to upstate locations. Several major gambling companies, including Wynn Resorts, Rush Street Gaming, and Hard Rock International, have indicated interest in pursuing a downstate license. Here's our reporter Jimmy Vielkind with more.
Supporters of these casinos say that they will lead to billions of dollars of investment in the state and revenue for the state of more than $500 million per license. They also say that they will provide jobs for thousands of people, most of whom are in the politically potent Hotel Trades Council union, whose membership has been decimated by hotel closures as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. Opponents have raised concerns about traffic and about some of the problems associated with gambling, and lawmakers, in agreeing to move forward with these three licenses, came up with a structure where both state and local legislators would be able to weigh in on any casino within their district.
We report exclusively that Starbucks is hiring a new strategy chief who specializes in worker relations in a week when more baristas voted to unionize. Stores in Massachusetts, Oregon, and Virginia will tally votes on whether to join the Starbucks Workers United Union next week. Overall, more than 180 of Starbucks' 9,000 corporate stores have petitioned for union elections. Former Goldman Sachs banker Roger Ng has been convicted of helping plunder $6.5 billion from the Malaysian sovereign wealth fund known as 1MDB in one of the world's largest financial scandals. A New York federal jury found him guilty of conspiring to launder money and bribing officials in Malaysia and the United Arab Emirates. The global scandal has been a black mark for Goldman Sachs, costing the bank more than $5 billion in penalties in the U.S. and Malaysia, and an admission that their Malaysian subsidiary broke U.S. corruption laws. And the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences is banning Will Smith from attending any Oscar ceremonies for 10 years. The decision comes as a formal response to the actor slapping comedian Chris Rock in the face and yelling profane comments at him during the live telecast. In a signed statement, the Academy said the decision was based on Smith's unacceptable and harmful behavior. Smith voluntarily resigned from the Academy last week following the incident. The organization also apologized for its handling of the matter during the show. Coming up, the Federal Reserve is planning several interest rate hikes this year to bring down prices. How that's beginning to hit consumers after the break.
Want to get smarter about investing? Then tune in to the Capital Ideas podcast from Capital Group, home of American Funds Distributors, Inc., one of the world's leading asset managers. Each week, we bring you stock market outlooks, macroeconomic updates, and investment strategies that can help you succeed. Learn from portfolio managers with decades of experience about how they navigate uncertain markets. Prepare to be engaged, enlightened, and entertained by listening to the Capital Ideas podcast today.
For much of the pandemic, the Federal Reserve held interest rates near zero to stimulate the economy. That meant borrowing costs for everything from home loans to car loans were relatively low. Now, with inflation near a 40-year high, there are growing fears the economy is overheating. The Fed has been tightening monetary policy to help bring prices down. At their meeting next month, the Fed may even call for a bigger rate hike of half a percentage point. But it's a balancing act. Higher rates are already having an impact on the housing market, and that could spread to many other sectors. So, how could it affect you? Joining me now with more on that is our Wall Street Journal finance editor, Charles Farrell. Hi, Charles. Thanks so much for being here.
Hi, Anne-Marie. Great to be here.
So, Charles, before we get into separate sectors of the economy, take us through how raising interest rates at the Fed trickles down to higher borrowing costs for consumers.
So, the Federal Reserve targets what's called the Fed funds rate, which is the what you can think of as like the most basic rate in the financial economy. It's the rate that one bank will charge another bank to borrow money for just one night. So, that's sort of like the basic rate. And then everybody else in the economy has to lend a little bit above that. And if you want longer than overnight, and if you want somebody more risky than another bank, you charge a little bit more. And so that sort of sets a you think of it as kind of like a floor or a base rate for the economy, and everybody else kind of prices off of things that get priced off of that. So they move that up. Rates everywhere move. They move that down. They don't move in lockstep. They don't move in unison, but generally speaking, they do move.
So while this may be good for fighting inflation, it's not so great for borrowers right now, right? But that's sort of by design.
That's the point. I mean, what the Fed wants to do is take heat out of the economy. And the way that they do that, the way that their theories say that they should do that, is to make it more expensive to borrow money. Because if you make it more expensive to borrow money, then people and businesses will take less opportunities to do things like buy houses or build new things that cause inflation and cause the economy to run too hot. So this is the point. The point of this is to make it more expensive to borrow money. That is a feature. Sure, not a bug.
So perhaps where we're seeing this most acutely right now is in the housing market. For much of the pandemic, the mortgage rate was around 3%. Now it's nearly 5%. How is this playing out for buyers, sellers, and renters? What are we seeing right now?
Well, we got a couple of things going on. The first thing we're seeing is that is sort of straight up obvious is that a mortgage at 5% is much more expensive than a mortgage at 3%. So the math on it just makes it more expensive. You have to wrap larger interest payments into your monthly budget. And most people who buy houses with a mortgage think about buying a house in terms of the monthly budget. What can I afford this month? Not, you know, some abstract number of that has six or seven figures that is like how big is the house, but really what can I afford to pay every month? And so that number is more expensive if rates go up, and therefore you have to spend less on the house in order to fit it into your budget. So the first thing that happens is it becomes harder for people to afford houses, and that ripples through the housing market. We haven't quite seen that yet. Demand is super strong for houses, has been for a while. Supply is super low, particularly in a lot of the places that people really want to move to. So we haven't seen like a big turnaround in the housing market or anything, but we're starting to see some signs. So we're seeing fewer people apply for mortgages, especially refinances, but also purchases. And we're starting to see in some places houses sit on the market longer than they had been in previous months, which is just an indication the market is starting to cool.
Let's talk about automobiles. Used vehicles were in high demand and prices were pretty high during the pandemic. What about for those looking to lease a car right now? What should they be aware of right now?
Leasing is just another form of financing, similar to taking out a loan to buy a car. Functionally, you're effectively paying for part of the car. You pay for 3 years worth of car, and you finance the cost of 3 years worth of car over the course of those 3 years. So interest rates go up, lease rates will go up too. Leases are a little bit more complex because the dealership doesn't advertise what the interest rate is. They just give you a lease payment, but you could do the math yourself or back it out, but there is sort of an implied interest rate in there. And that interest rate goes up and you will pay more for a lease. The dealership might be offering some incentives that kind of keep that number down. But at the end of the day, the pressures are upward on that lease number. That also comes at the same time as prices for used cars are still high, right? So a lot of things are pointing to more expensive cars.
And another big area impacting a lot of U.S. consumers, credit card rates. How are those impacted specifically by rate hikes from the Fed?
So credit card debt is priced in a slightly different way. It varies a lot depending on exactly how it's done. But in a lot of cases, credit cards are priced off of the prime rate. And the prime rate is a rate that's published in the Wall Street Journal that is very, very closely tied to the Fed's actual rate. So the Fed moves its rate up a quarter percentage point, and the prime rate will go up a quarter of a percentage point. Many credit cards are priced off of the prime rate and carry a relatively large margin. So the impact of the rising Fed rates hasn't really been felt by credit card borrowers yet, because the Fed's moved it up a quarter of a percentage point. So your credit card interest rate is going up by a quarter of a percentage point. But most people who have credit cards are paying double-digit percentages on top of the prime rate. So if you're paying 13.5% goes up to 13.75%, you really don't notice it that much. But if the Fed does a bunch more rate hikes during the rest of the year, as everybody expects that it will, those credit card interest rates will start to rise as well.
Right. And let's talk about the Fed. We may even see a half a percentage point hike next month at their meeting. What should consumers expect going forward?
Consumers should expect regular steady rate hikes from the Fed through the end of the year. That is the signal that the Fed is sending. That is the signal that the markets are receiving. The markets actually think that there will be more interest rate hikes this year than the Fed is saying that there will be. But one thing that everybody is pretty confident of right now is that there will be interest rate hikes steadily through December of 2022. We'll see what 2023 brings, but all of the wagers point to interest rates going up, up, up. So for consumers, mortgage rates almost certainly will be higher at the end of the year than they are now. Car loans will almost certainly be higher at the end of the year than they are now. Credit card rates higher at the end of the year than they are now. We can throw a little asterisk on there that you never really know what happens in the world, and it's quite uncertain right now, particularly with the war in Ukraine and a bunch of other things. It's possible that things could shift, but the expectation is for borrowing to be more expensive later in the year.
That's Wall Street Journal finance editor Charles Farrell. Charles, thanks so much for breaking this down for us.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. Take care.
And finally, over the past year, Hollywood has been releasing superhero blockbusters like The Batman and Spider-Man No Way Home. The opening weekends are still not pulling in huge crowds, but one group of loyal moviegoers is finding their way back into theater seats. So, who are these newfound superheroes saving the day? Here's our Hollywood reporter, Eric Schwartzel.
Young teen males and young men are the only demographic really showing up consistently at the movie theaters. So obviously during COVID, theaters shut down and studios are still really just sort of like dipping their toe in the water when it comes to releasing movies theatrically, because the market has just not really returned to pre-pandemic levels. However, there is one kind of movie that's working, and that is the movie that appeals primarily to young boys and young men. So think of Spider-Man, The Batman, Uncharted, all of these movies have been standout performers since theaters reopened, and they all have one thing in common, which is that 60% to two-thirds of their audience tend to be young men.
And that's what's news for this week. Our hosts are me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Luke Vargas. The show was produced by Trine Nuri and Mohsen Ali, with help from Kate Bullivant, Anthony Bansi, Julie Chang, Zoe Thomas, and J.R. Whalen, and editorial support from Kateri Yoakum, Michael Cosmides, and Chris Sinsley. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. We'll be back on Monday morning. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.